Thank you for having me. It's the Sunday of swapping Kerrys around, because we had your Kerry, Francis, in Maidenhead this morning, doing worship with us, and you've got me, the Maidenhead Kerry, speaking. I only hope I do as good a job as she did this morning. She was amazing. And if you're not careful, I'm going to kidnap her and have her forever. Dave said to me, Kerry, I want you to tell some stories about what's going on in Maidenhead. And I said, no, because that takes part of my talk time. But I will tell you one. We've had a really exciting time in Maidenhead. We've been reaching out into the community in Larchfield over the last few years, building relationships, really wanting to get to know people. And we had a lady came to one of our Sunday meetings probably about 6 weeks ago. She'd actually heard Hannah, who runs Recharge down in the Larchfield Community Centre, talking about River Church. And so she came along to see what we were like. She was already a Christian in her mid-40s. And she liked what she saw. So she went away and she came back the next week with her daughter in her early 20s, who's pregnant, a single mum and not yet a Christian. And she liked what she saw as well and what she heard. So they came back again the second week. And the daughter gave her life to the Lord at the end of that meeting, which was just amazing. It was just really lovely. They've been there every week since. The daughter's baby's due in 2 days, she told me this morning. I thought, good luck with that, but it's not. And it's just really exciting. It's just really, really exciting. So there's one story. How's that? Is that right? Okay, so today I've got Jesus the healer. So I thought a good place to start was to actually establish that Jesus was a healer. And then I can sit down and you can all go home. Dave said no, share some more of your story, so maybe not. But anyway, who can give me some examples of Jesus healing? Jade, I know your name. Go on, give me an example from the Bible that you can think of Jesus healing someone. Paralytic man? Blind man with the mud? Anybody else? Yeah, lepers? Yep. Yeah, raising somebody from the dead? We've got withered hands, deaf mutes, dropsy. I don't know what dropsy is. But anyway, we have all of those things. Here are some that I like the pictures of. Haven't come out too well. That's Jairus' daughter. I really love that one. There's the blind man with the mud. And this is one of my personal favourites. The woman with bleeding who touches the hem of Jesus' garment and is healed. And scripture tells us that great multitudes followed him. And he healed them all. When the sun was setting, all those who had anyone who was sick with them with various diseases brought them to him. He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. So I think Jesus was a healer. I've got another scripture here. There are many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. So that's 100% success rate. That's good, isn't it? We've established Jesus was a healer. But, you know, what difference does that make to us today? Because that was then, wasn't it? That was Jesus. Well, we also read, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. That's in Acts. That was Jesus' disciples. Jesus had died by then. So we see a new generation of people healing in the name of Jesus. And Jesus gave a command to us. He said, the Great Commission, he said, go and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. So that's our commission. What did Jesus command? He commanded his disciples to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have skin diseases, drive out demons freely. You have received, freely give. So I think it's passing on. And he gives us a promise, and this is an exciting one. I tell you this timeless truth. The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do, and even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father. So that leaves me in a bit of an uncomfortable position, you know, because I don't really think I'm left with much of a choice. I think that Jesus wants me and you to go and heal people in his name. And we can ignore that. We can be frightened of it. We can choose not to do it. He still loves us utterly, every one of us. But I think that he wants us to go and reach people with his love, in this way. And there's a commission in that for us as his people, as followers of Jesus. But you know, it's also who Jesus is. He is the healer. And where he is, people are healed and set free just by his very presence, the kingdom of God breaking in. Jesus is alive today. Who would like to say they agree with that? Good, I've come to the right place. He's alive today, okay, and he wants to carry on doing today what he did when he walked the earth. And he does that through us. His presence within us releases who he is wherever we go. His essence, his peace, his joy, his love, and his healing. I come into contact with loads of hurting people, whether that's people in the church or people outside of the church. And you know, my heart cry has grown and grown for people to see how good God is, to see that he loves them, and to be able to demonstrate that practically and see God changing their circumstances. I've been reading John in the Passion Translation. I'm quite passionate about the Passion Translation. Get a hold of it and read it. It's fantastic. And this is one thing that I read that I've been chewing over. Father, this is Jesus speaking, I have manifested who you really are, and I have revealed you to the men and women you gave to me. I just felt the Lord say to me, Kerry, I've given you a lot of men and women all around you, people in church, your neighbours, people in your community, and I want you to do what Jesus did. I want you to manifest me to them, to show them who I really am. And that's what I long to do. And that's the journey that I've been on over the last 10 years. I see Pete here back from Bethel. Pete, you should be standing here doing this talk, not me. But this is just the journey I've been on since I first went to Bethel 10 years ago. And I experienced the presence of God in a way I never had before. And I saw people being healed. And I was like, you know what? Somebody said, will you go back? And I said, maybe, but I want that here. I want to see that same reality of the presence of God here in Maidenhead and Marlow. I don't have a mighty healing ministry yet. And today I may well leave you with more questions than answers. I wish I did have all the answers, but I really don't. I wish there was a 3-point plan to getting people healed. I like plans. I like 3-point plans. You get them down there and you're done. But I'm not sure there is. But I think there are really helpful things for us. And I think there are probably some unhelpful things that trip us up. I've seen some good things happen. I've seen some great things happen. And I've seen some really rubbish things happen too. I think that's probably the journey that we're all on. But all I have is a personal journey, and I'm just willing to share some of that with you today, and I really hope that that will help you. My journey started, as I said, in Bethel 10 years ago. One of the first things that shaped me was before that, 20 years ago, when our first child, Ryan, was born. And he was born with acute myeloid leukemia, and he died when he was a week old. Despite the best prayers of me and our family, and the church. And that leaves you with a lot of questions. And that was my starting point. And I'll tell you some stories along the way. But it's a journey that I'm determined to go on with God. So let's start at the very beginning. I think it's useful to think about what is healing. So I just looked it up in the dictionary because I like doing that. To cause a wound, injury, or person to become sound or healthy again. And I really like that. We think of wounds and diseases being healed, but a person being healed, I think that's brilliant. And we tend to think of it as instant stuff, which it obviously was with Jesus very frequently, but it can be gradual. It can be progressive. We prayed for a lady on the streets, doing healing on the streets in Maidenhead, who had a neurological issue down the side of her face. And she was in a lot of pain and had seen specialists and whatever. And she was virtually completely healed when we prayed for her there and then. And as she went away, she then came back a couple of weeks later and she said, it kept coming back. And every time the pain came back, I just said, no, they told me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. And every time she said it, it subsided again. And so she pushed in and she pushed in to the point came when it went. So sometimes I just think it is gradual. Jesus didn't just heal people's bodies, he healed their spirits. He healed them inside as well as out. That one, the woman with the issue of blood that I showed the picture of, Jesus calls her daughter of Abraham. That's amazing because she'd been stripped of her every bit of identity through what had happened to her in the last 12 years. She wasn't worthy to be part of God's people because of the condition she had. And Jesus restores that identity to her as he says, daughter of Abraham. I just love that. The woman caught in adultery, I don't condemn you. Healing people of shame and guilt. That's what our Jesus does. I've spent a lot of time with five people in the last few years that have suffered from severe depression, anxiety, insomnia, and I've seen Jesus heal them. It has taken time, but he has done so. And it's been amazing to see people set free. He's healed them inside as well as the external physical things. Freedom in Christ, sozo, is a fantastic example of Jesus, the healer. And all I can really do this morning is share with you my personal journey. I'm just going to chuck out loads of thoughts at you, some which you may find helpful, some which you might not, some of which you might disagree with. That's fine, you can disagree with me, I don't mind. But I just really want to encourage you to go further in your journey with the whole thing of healing. So I just want to pray. Can I just quickly pray? Father, I just really want to pray that Holy Spirit, you will come and you will speak the things to us that we need to hear to take us further onto our journey of manifesting you to the men and women that you've given to us. Father God, we want to represent you well in every possible way. So speak truth to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So there are just some things that I've sort of thought about over the years. One of my big, big journeys has been about intimacy with God. And again, from John, that I've been chewing over, a scripture that says, loving me empowers you to obey my commands. So if Jesus has commanded us to go heal the sick, the way we're empowered to do that is not necessarily waiting for a zap. It's loving him. And that's a journey that we need to invest in. Intimacy with him, finding him, running after him in the way that works for us. I said at the start about healing being who Jesus is. He wants to be himself in us and that to spill out. So to allow Jesus to live as fully in me as I can, that requires a bit of investment in my relationship with him. And that's been a real key for me. That actually it's that relationship with Jesus and me, not living it through church, which is what I did for years and years. And that's another story I'd love to share sometime if you ever invite me back. This is a good scripture. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. Isn't that lovely? But when you live separated from me, you're powerless. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. I love that. If we want our lives to bear abundant fruit, then actually we need to live in union with Jesus. And part of that living in union is he shapes our identity. He changes how we see who we are. And that's been a really major shift for me in recent years. It never ceases to amaze me that God chooses to live in me. You know that scripture from Colossians? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Isn't that incredible? Christ in you. Christ in you. Christ in you. That's amazing. I sit sometimes and I say that to myself in all those different ways. He lives in me and you. He took it even further than that. Oh, no, look, I've gone millions away. There. For the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ. So we'll pause there. That's good, isn't it? We all know that. We can probably say that. The entire fullness of God's nature lives bodily in Christ. Aha. And you have been filled by him, who is the head over every ruler and authority. That's our identity. That's who we are. The entire fullness living within us. And we just need to kind of meditate on that and get that, because the enemy doesn't want us to believe that, and he wants to keep us small, so small. We carry God within us. So praying for healing or anything isn't just about tagging in Jesus' name on the end of a prayer and hoping for the best. It's actually about being able to pray out of this deep sense of our identity. A real inward transformation of understanding who we are, and that grows through intimacy with Jesus. That's probably the biggest thing that I've walked in over the last few years that has really changed, so that when I go to pray with somebody, I know who I'm praying out of, who's praying through me. It's not just something I'm thinking up, and it's been really, really transforming. There are lots of good books on this. I haven't got time this morning to go through it all. Lots of you will know this book, When Heaven Invades Earth. You know, if you haven't read it, I'd really encourage you to get a copy and read it. It's fantastic, and it will take you through our authority as believers and how the Lord wants to bring heaven to earth through us. It's really good. I'd really, really recommend it. Something I've discovered is that my mind gets in the way. Some of you might have minds like Dave, which are like really connected spiritually. I'd like your mind. My mind is kind of a bit, it's all a show. My mind's kind of a bit analytical and questioning and a bit cynical. I've got that British cynical thing. So my mind really gets in the way. And this Romans verse has been my real mantra over the years: be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove what the will of God is. The will of God is to bring wholeness. I want to prove it. My mind needs transforming. And that again comes through intimacy, in his presence and in his word. It's about my mind being transformed so that the reasoning thing that goes on in my mind doesn't keep me away from faith in this area, which it so easily does. I'm really rubbish at this. We do healing on the streets in Maidenhead once a month on a Saturday morning, and I always have the oh no moments when the man or woman on the mobility scooter comes towards me. I call them the get up and walk people, and I'm like, oh no. That isn't any harder for Jesus than a headache is. It really isn't, but my mind gets in the way, and instantly my mind is focused on the problem and not on Jesus. And not on Jesus being the one I'm bringing into the situation. And that's one of the areas my mind has had to be transformed, so that I don't go, oh no, it's the mobility scooter again. We started doing healing on the streets. The very first time we ever did it was at the Larchville Festival 4 years ago. And the very first person we prayed for was a boy. He was about 10, called Dylan. He'd fallen off his bike and hurt his leg. And he said, can Jesus do something about that? And I said, yep. So he said, all right, pray for me then. So I said, all right, well, we will then. Hold your horses. So we did pray for him. And his eyes widened. And he ran off across the field shouting, oh, my God, it's worked. And I felt like running across the field after him, shouting the same thing, because I was about as surprised as he was, believe me. And, you know, it's that thing about where's my mind? Where's my expectation? Actually, that was a lovely story. He went on a couple of years later in his school RE lesson where they were talking about prayer. And the teacher said, and I only know this because the Jubilee youth worker was in that particular lesson, said, do you know anything about prayer? Anybody know anything about prayer? And he stuck up his hand in front of his mates and he said, yeah, I do. These Christians prayed for me at the Larchville Festival and my leg got better. Come on. That's really good. I like that. We need to feed our minds with stories of healing, our spirits with stories of healing, so it becomes the norm. And not an, oh my God, it's gone moment. It helps to reroute our thinking for it to become normal, because it's really not normal. in our society for stuff like that to happen. And I really have to work at that because I have this really terrible mind that won't toe the line. I've also had to deal with the thought, well, it didn't happen last time, so it won't happen this time. It's not a science experiment. It's the other thing I've had to think. You know, actually, it's not, well, those are the results that time, so they'll be the results this time. I've really had to work through that. Just some thoughts. Okay, so the big one, disappointment. Hands up if you know that you've been healed by Jesus when somebody's prayed for you. Okay, good. Thank you, Lord. Hands up if you were prayed for and you weren't healed. You didn't appear to be there and then. Okay. Hands up if you've prayed for people and they didn't seem to be healed. Okay. There it is, isn't it? There it is. I like what Alan Scott says. He leads a big church in Coleraine where healing on the streets began. And he says this, resist the temptation to build your theology around your hurts and disappointments. And it's really easy to do so, isn't it? And it's also very easy to become disappointed, bitter, jealous, and dwell on the disappointment. I know this firsthand. I said earlier that our first son died when he was a week old. 3 years later, my sister, who's much younger than me, had her first child, Hannah. It was a very difficult birth, doesn't matter the details. And Hannah was born, but my sister was told she will die within a week. She will not live. And my mum rang me. My mum's a church goer, I'll just say that. And she said, Kerry, you've got to pray. Which she's never said in her life to me before. And this thing rose up in me, I can't tell you. I was so angry with the enemy. I was like, this is not happening in my family again. And I stormed, literally, around the coffee table in the lounge, praying and praying and praying and praying. Other people prayed, it wasn't just me. My sister's daughter lived, and the doctors wrote miracle in her notes. She has had absolutely no adverse health issues as a result of that experience. It was amazing. It was amazing. But where could I have been? I could have been, you didn't save my child, God, and you saved my sister's child. But I'm the good Christian and she's not. I've done things right and she hasn't. Why did you not save my son? Can you see where that would have taken me? That would have shut me off from any adventure with God in lots of ways, but especially in healing, in bringing his presence to people. And I kind of knew in a really small way I couldn't let that happen. And I have had to walk a really hard path of not going down that thought process. Because disappointment eats us up, and I knew it would eat me up, and I would be finished before I started. The good news is even if you walk with disappointment, Jesus can heal you. And if that's you today, I would love to pray with you at the end, that the Lord releases you and brings healing into that disappointment and sets you free, because it's so important. I've had lots of disappointments along the way. My son, my beautiful friend, Rachel Jameson, who was a very dear friend, who we prayed for a long, long time, and who didn't survive in the way we expected her to. My close friend, Gemma, I worked with her, reconnected with her some years ago. She's my age, daughter, my son's age, ovarian cancer that had spread. I did everything I could. Just tell you, I did everything. I prayed with her. I prayed for her. I got the church to pray for her. I got healing cloths and took them to her. I took her to the Bill Johnson Healing Conference. I even got Bill Johnson to pray for her. She became a Christian twice. Honestly, I tell you, I said everything. I did everything. I cried everything I could. She died 3 years ago from the cancer. And I have no answers for that, other than she met with Jesus. Many smaller ones too, people on the street I've prayed for who haven't been healed. And what do I do? Do I give up? That's my option, isn't it? I can just give up. But that's what the enemy wants me to do. He doesn't want Jesus shown. He doesn't want him manifested to people. And he would love to shut us down through disappointment, through failure. Andy Reid does that great talk on living in the now and the not yet. That actually the kingdom of heaven is breaking in. It's not fully here. So we see good things and we sometimes don't see breakthrough. But the thing I cling on to is a scripture from Isaiah 54 that says this: though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed. That's the real perspective for us to keep in mind, that actually God loves us and will never, ever take his love from us. I want to read you something about Rick Warren. Do you know Rick Warren, a great Christian minister in the US, pastors a massive church, prayed for President Obama at his, whatever he was, inauguration. His son suffered from depression, mental illness for 27 years and eventually took his own life last year. And Rick Warren talked about the stages of grief and he said this at the end: the third phase is what I call struggle. All the why questions. The biggest one for me is, why didn't you answer the prayer I prayed every day for 27 years? The prayer I prayed more than any other prayer went unanswered. But explanations never comfort. What you need in tragedy is not an explanation. You need the presence of God. Then you come to the stage of surrender. Surrender is when you say, I would rather live and walk with God and have my questions unanswered than have all my questions answered and not walk with God. And just from personal experience, I just say amen. I don't have all of the answers. I really, really don't. But I know a God who does and who loves me passionately. Every one of us and everyone we pray for passionately. So very quickly, the very last observation I have is that we need to be bold and take risks. To give God the opportunity. I love safe places. I love being comfortable. I like being able to do things in my own strength. And I know if I step over here and take a risk to pray for somebody, then I'm exposed, but that's when God turns up. And he won't really necessarily when I stay here and can do it all myself. So I just really want to encourage you to take risks. I walked through Maidenhead and there was a little Asian girl sitting on a bench with her mum. She must have been three and she had hearing aids in both ears. And as I went past her, I thought, oh, I so feel for that little girl. What a shame. I walked past and I got some steps back past and I thought, I ought to pray for her. I thought, oh, I'm too scared. And I carried on walking. I got round the corner and I thought, oh, I've got to do it. I summed up the courage and went back and she'd gone. Now, I don't know what might have happened when I prayed, but I know I missed an opportunity. And I kind of carry that with me. I never want to miss an opportunity like that again. And so I sort of carry that picture and I know I've just got to be bold and step out and take risks and let God do what God's going to do. So we were prayer walking in Larchfield on Wednesday, a little team of us, and we got chatting to an elderly couple and the lady had a walker and she said, oh, do you know, my legs are so bad today. Ah, there we go. And so we just got talking to her and we said, can we pray for you? She said, oh, I'd really like that. So we did, we prayed for her. She was not instantly healed, but she knew God touched her in that moment. And who knows what a difference that's made in her life. I spent some time working in Recharge down in Maidenhead. The lady there called Paula had had stomach issues for years. I was quite frightened of her. And I really felt God say, pray for her. I'm like, really? So anyway, I sort of plucked up courage and said, Paula, can I pray about your stomach issues? And she said, yeah, right. So I did, and nothing apparently happened. And then 6 months later, I met Paula again, and she said to me, you know, you prayed for me. I said, oh, yes. She said, well, the following week, I went to the doctor. He discovered I had an allergy that nobody knew, and so they sorted that out, and it's completely better, my stomach, and I've lost 3 stone in weight. I thought, Jesus is really good, isn't he? So you never know what's going to happen down the line. My conclusion is this. If I don't pray for anyone, no one gets healed. That's absolutely certain. But if I do pray for someone, then someone might get healed. God loves us passionately and wants us to know him and show him. He loves to meet with us. He loves to meet with the people in the community that we're involved with. And it's worth it to give it a shot, to become people who carry him wherever we go. It's an adventure. So what's your Monday morning takeaway? I give Maidenhead people a Monday morning takeaway. Go for it. Just give it your best shot. Just let Jesus do what he wants to do in meeting people. Bless people everywhere you go. Carry his presence out of intimacy and be brave. Who knows what might happen? My experience is people are always thrilled to be prayed for. So go for it. I'm done. Thank you, thank you, thank you. They were kind of ramblings, not a sort of a theory, but never mind. I would love to pray for people with disappointment. I'd really love to do that personally, but it would be really good to sort of put it into practice, wouldn't it? So shall we pray for one another? Would that be a good idea? Is that all right? Shall I take over at this point? Okay, so, Vicar, should you come and do this with me? Who here has got something wrong with them at this moment that they would like prayer for? Okay, people, people, people. Okay, would those people, would you mind standing up if you're one of those people? Okay, right. All the rest of us, we're going to do some praying, okay? Now then, it's really easy. First of all, you just need to find out from them what they want praying for. It's amazing. It's not what you expect. I had a mobility scooter get up and walk person tell me the thing they wanted praying for was a headache. Yes! So they might not want praying for what you think. So step number one, you ask them what they want praying for. Step number two, you look them in the eyes and you tell them, Jesus loves you. That's the starting point. Release the love of God. Lay your hands on them if you're happy to, if they're happy to. Tell the sickness to go in Jesus' name. Don't ask God to do it. You tell it to go. In the name of Jesus, that's who you carry, Christ in you. Release peace over them, the peace of God. Then ask them how they feel. Ask them to try it out. If it isn't any better, do it again. If it still isn't any better, do it again. And if it still isn't any better, go, you know what? Jesus loves you, and he's meeting you, and go away, and know his peace on your life. So, are you game to go for that? Right, go grab a sick person. A person who would like prayer. How are we doing? Can anybody say there's been an improvement in anything? Mary! What you got an improvement in? Okay, Mary, so you've just been prayed for. You had a pulled tendon, and it feels better now than it did before you were prayed for. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Bless you. Anybody else? We've got an improved tendon over here that's been pulled. Any other improvements? Yes, we've got an improvement over here too.
I injured my coccyx during my labour, and it's been increasingly painful, and increasingly painful to sit down. And it feels a lot easier at the moment after prayer. So,
amen. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Thank you, Lord. That's good news. Anybody else venture to the microphone? How are we doing? Some things we won't know straight away, will we? Some things we won't be aware of. I think that's really great. Yes, Annette. Ugh, can I get to you?
They prayed for my, I got clicky jaws, but it's not been healed at the moment, but I'm going to go on my faith.
Like the woman with the neurological face thing that went on the street. Yeah, she just kept speaking to it. Jesus loves me. You know what, guys? Are there any other stories? Or are we good for now? The most important thing is that anybody you pray for receives that sense that Jesus loves them so much. Yeah? Because we're releasing who God is, and that is love. So I would just really encourage you guys to keep calm and just go for it. Thank you very much.
Carrie, that was awesome. Thank you so much.